You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
903 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Let's get Sam in here and then we'll do that
thing.
That other thing. What's up, Sam?
What's going on, guys?
How's it going?
Hey, your question you just asked. I can name the recent Texans, just Hopkins and Vaught, but Arian Foster is the only one that really ever pops out of my head just because he ran yard on the Indianapolis Colts all the time. But as far as I'm a longtime sports fan, basketball, football, baseball, why haven't we had more shakeups in the divisions, like divisional? Why aren't they shaking up who we're playing against? I understand logistics of it all, but as a sports fan, it's just getting tired. And would they benefit from changing all the divisions?
Wait a minute. So you want them to change the divisions?
You want them to break down the walls of divisions?
Why do you want them to, why do you want them to change the divisions?
It's just getting stagnant year after year, and you get divisions that are falling behind. You know, like AFC South, they've fallen behind. If you put them against NFC, some of their divisions wouldn't even stand a chance a few years ago. So it just. There just needs to be a shakeup to make it more interesting for sports fans.
Well, most divisions are based on regionality. So, I mean, you have natural rivalries that are built up in divisions because you've been a division foe for years. Those games mean something. You have a hatred for the other fan base. You have a hatred for the other teams. So, I don't know. Like, the NFC East was the worst division in recent memory. But Philadelphia still gets up for playing Dallas and Washington, and because you have the familiarity and the hatred that you have built.
Would you be in favor of what basketball does, where you still have divisions, but and they play each other more often, but you remove the abilities to simply make the playoffs because you win your division?
Basketball has evolved into a conference, not division.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You still play your division teams more. But you just don't make the playoffs because you won the division. Would you be in favor of that in football?
No, and that's why I'm in favor of conference champions being in the NCAA in the NCAA playoffs, in the football playoff, because winning your conference means something. And even if it's not a good conference, you still In the NFL, Washington made the playoffs because they won their division, and I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. And you know what? They gave Tampa a game, too, by the way.
Should they have been hosting Tampa?
Not necessarily, but you know what? That's the way it is. I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with it. And when Marshawn Lynch grabbed his junk, he guess what? They were 7-9. New Orleans goes in there as a better team, and they lost. And, oh, well, you know what? If you're a better team, New Orleans, then you should be able to win, even if it's on the road. No, I don't have a problem with that. Tampa went in and won. They won the game. So I think, Sam, that there is it's become stagnant for you. But ask Dodger fans what they think of San Diego. You know what's not stagnant right now? Dodger-San Diego matchup or Dodger-Giant matchup. Those mean something to those teams.
Yeah.
And while it's stagnant here because the Astros have moved divisions, I wish they were still in the NL Central. I'd love to see the Cardinals and the Cubs you'd have a natural hatred right now. It's hard with the Astros in the West. It sucks in the West. It sucks. But and in the American League too. The Astros got screwed on that.
It's not good for us as fans of the Astros. You don't really have the Angels, it's funny, they have Trout and Otani, and it's like, who cares about the Angels? Seattle's a nothing. Oakland's a nothing. It really is.
No one has moved more. And you know what? While you might be feeling, Sam, that it's stagnant, it's because the Astros have had – it's the exact opposite of what you think, I think. Because they've had to move so much.
Was he talking about football or the baseball? Well, he didn't say. Well, I thought
basketball
he said sports.
Division doesn't matter.
Do you wish
baseball?
It, did?
It does matter. And oh, by the way, the Astros had to go from the NL West to the NL Central to the AL West, and you don't have that deep-rooted hatred for the division teams because you've had to move so much.
Would you care more about basketball? Well, I'm not saying you don't care about basketball. Would it be better if basketball dropped the soccer format, which is what they've used forever, where you don't even pay attention to divisions anymore? There's no advantage to winning a division. What's the advantage is being where you're seated. Do you think all sports should go in that direction, or would you like it better if the NBA said, you know what? You win the division and we'll do wild card. What if they did divisions and wild cards like that model that the other two sports use?
Actually, I think the NBA is doing it right, and they have just conferences.
Best teams.
They do it as far as their playoffs go. No, the divisions mean something in the NFL, and they mean something in baseball. The divisions mean, and conferences mean something in college football and basketball.
Yeah.
They mean something. The only sport that it doesn't mean anything is the NBA. That's it. That's the only league it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
So, no, I wouldn't change it. The problem is that the Astros did have to change it too often. You in Philadelphia, they hate the Mets. Philadelphia, they hate their division opponents. Now Miami is in it, and you know they don't care about it. But NFL, the Kansas City and Oakland, you ain't changed. You can't change that.
Right.
So
Kansas City and Vegas.
Kansas City, right. Well, there's a team that moved all over, but they never changed the division.
No.
So,
they lost
still got
the Seahawks,
that
Raider
Chief hatred.
They did lose the Seahawks, which was a big rival. They had to move them. It happens occasionally to teams. The Seahawks got moved around. Now they have to. And they develop a rivalry with the 49ers, but that came because of both teams being
good. Sports is what it is because of rivalries. It's because of historic matchups. Yeah, as a Houston fan, we don't have a lot of rivalries that we think of all the time, but I don't think it's a good thing to just break down the barriers of divisions and change. And from a logistics standpoint, well, logistics standpoint is everything. Regional is everything. From a travel standpoint, it does matter.
Try and change the Yankees and Red Sox.
Of course, the
AL East.
Astros are a central team who have to travel west for everything, but they screwed Jim. Oh, you want to buy this?
Yeah.
They didn't have a good. They didn't have a good fit
because Bud Selig wanted Milwaukee in the NL Central because he wanted that natural rivalry with the Cubs.
Yeah.
So the Astros are the one that got
all
screwed.
All this
on
was
it.
Done because of Bud Selig.
Yeah.
Make no.
All
mistake.
Right, you asked the question. Now you want the Texans to suck. Or do you want them to barely make the playoffs?
Yep.
As a wild card or as a crappy division
Which
winner
one?
Like Washington was last year?
So we'll open this up. Well, you can watch our sports map video. Yeah. We'll open this up to you guys. 713-780-3776.
And we had the division. And listen, when the question started with, this could be a crappy division. You know, a one-win team that's got a rookie quarterback. Jacksonville might suck again. Tennessee, God forbid anything happens to Derrick Henry, but if something happens to Derrick Henry after a 2,000-yard season, there's a natural drop-off after a 2,000-yard season because of all the wear and tear.
God forbid something happens to Derrick Henry.
God forbid.
That's all we're saying.
No, God forbid. If something happens to Derrick Henry, which is, you know what? He's not going to be as good as he was last year, period, exclamation point. They never are. Running backs never are. So there's a chance that they're not going to be good. And then the Colts have got Carson Wentz. He sucks. So there's a chance that they are not going to be good. So this division could be crappy. What if the Texans are actually competing for the division this year? What if an 8-9 team is actually competing for a division championship?
We leave it open to the people to call in. You guys have talked about it. You can check out your opinions on it on the sports map. My thought would be, as long as the Texans are self-aware that winning a crappy division doesn't mean anything other than you want a crappy division, then I would be fine with it. As long as they know it doesn't mean let's stick with the status quo.
Well, and remember Bill O'Brien. Hey.
9-7.
Three out of 5 years.
Yeah,
9-7 is not the bar.
As long as they're self-aware that this doesn't mean anything, it doesn't mean you're close because you want a crappy division. Why not win as many games? I mean, you can use Deshaun as a trade chip to move up in a draft to take a quarterback, whatever. I just don't want it to be, hey, we did pretty good. Let's stay on this road.
We finished third in the division. 8-9. We were right there. Game out.
Yeah, just a couple tweaks here, a couple tweaks there. We're gonna be pretty good.
One game out of the wild card. Oh, what?
I don't need. Be self aware, and that's okay to win games.
We still got 14 teams in the playoffs, right? Seven in each conference.
Yeah. My whole thing was.
Well, if they finish if they finish one game out of the playoffs,
well, that's the worst.
That's the worst.
If you're one game out, then I'm pissed. But you know what I said? My answer might surprise people. I would rather they be in the playoffs than to suck. But I don't want them to have to be 8-9 if it's a bad division and you don't make the playoffs, but you were like, well, you still have the same. Like, if your record is 9-8 and you don't make the playoffs, 9-8 and you do make the playoffs, good. Because now you're hopefully creating a little culture of winning. There's nothing like playoff atmosphere, even if it's a wild card, not a good football team. Anytime you get hyped up for it and you want to see it, I mean, somebody's done something better than we expected with the Texans. Somebody has. Like, there's some guys playing decent football if they win 9 games this year. So I would be interested in that. Anything short of that, a 7-10 season, no thanks. I'll take 2-15 all day over that.
I would be encouraged if they did make the playoffs, because it means this staff is really competent. Because winning seven games.
No. I would love to see Cully and Lovie Smith have a good defense. And
yeah.
It would be awesome.
Because it means they're not super talented and they're getting the most out of the players. And then you would say, once we have our pick, we have more picks, we can add premium talent. And then what can you get out of them?
Isn't it wonderful when you're pleasantly surprised and you're like, and that, you know what? There's a chance that this team could surprise us.
It would mean
not
hey,
very good. Chance.
No, the staff is better than we think.
Right.
Cully may know what he's doing.
No. He might be the right guy after how Bill O'Brien beat everybody up and had them so miserable. This guy might be lifting everybody's spirits. And hey, football's fun again, and we're flying around. We're actually enjoying this. 9:15 ESPN 97.5. We take your calls on the other side. What do you want to do? 773-780-3776. I want to get my electricity at the best price. That's what I want. I don't know what you care about. I know what I care about. I care about my electricity at the cheapest price. I came home yesterday and my house was really, really cold. And I was like, I don't care. I don't care if I'm wasting electricity. I don't care. You know why? Because it's not costing me all that much. Because you know why? I'm with Champion Energy. You know what you're with? I don't know. But here's the deal. If you haven't, all these years, about a dozen years now, I've been talking about Champion Energy. If you haven't heard the message yet, you're going to save money. You're going to love the service, which is second to none, and you're going to save money. Three things. Save money, best in service, save money. All at champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy, promo code 1560.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Quickest breaks in the business. That's it. So 713-780-3776. Your thoughts on this division realignment? Maybe you want to talk about Texans playoffs or bust. Which do you want? Any Astros talk? What with the Padres in town? You're more than welcome. 713-780-3776. Reese is first here. He's been waiting. He wants to talk about this division realignment. What do you say, Reese?
Hey, I think with the other caller, I believe he was just, like, some of these teams are just boring teams. They're not marquee teams in the NFL. So I think the Texans would do better off with the Saints and the Cowboys in the division. I know it won't ever happen. But, I mean, seeing some of Robert, even the Dolphins and the Jaguars, some of those teams and the Buccaneers should play more often. And just to be separated because of some conference we only play once every 4 years is ridiculous. And then real quick on the Texans, I think that you should always go to win. It's not tanking is not fun. And I think the NFL has shown within 2-3 years, you can change it really quick. I know you got to draft well and all that, but I just think, you know, trying to tank to overdraft a quarterback, that stuff can turn into years of losing. I think you should always try to win. I think it's unfair for coaching staffs and fan bases to have to deal with tanking.
I don't know that they were left in such a lurch. I don't know that they're tanking on purpose. I think they just are going to suck. Bill O'Brien, I don't know that I've seen a drier well than Bill O'Brien left.
It's hard to imagine one.
Yeah. I mean, the Rockets are right there. We're experiencing both at the same time. I don't know that the Rockets weren't tanking on purpose. They just weren't good. They were just horrible. The Texans aren't going to tank on purpose. They're just going to be terrible. Now, again, if they surprise us, that'll be wonderful. The ceiling is the roof, right?
That's what I've been told.
And, I mean, like, can you even imagine them winning 8 games?
No.
I mean, is that even...
Let me give you the Dolphins scenario. The Dolphins were actively trying to be bad because they didn't want to go through another 7-9, 8-8 year where you're still paying guys to not win enough games. Let's say the Texans are one of the worst teams in the league at the start of the year, like the Dolphins were, getting beat 59-10. Then all of a sudden, that back half of the year, you start to see things turning around.
All of a sudden.
Of course, that happened under Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I can't see that, though.
What if David Culley and... Nah, I can't do it. David Culley wouldn't only have to overcome the roster. He'd have to overcome some of his own personal problems.
I'm going to tell you about David Culley, who's a junkie.
So he's got his own things to overcome. But let's just say... I don't know, maybe Tyrod Taylor and who's the other guy, Jeff Driskel. They start you off 0-9 because, you know, that's what they're capable of. And then you go, you know what, time to bring in Davis Mills. And Davis Mills, there's some progress, and you win maybe 4 out of your last, 8? You go 4-13, so you're still pretty terrible, but you see some growth from the staff and Davis Mills. I think that would be a premium outcome. You're bad, but... What if then you have to make a decision? Are you drafting a quarterback if Davis Mills goes 4-4 down the stretch? Did he play well enough to get another year?
That makes everything confusing.
Yes, it does.
That just confuses everything. Really, really confuses everything. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. Let's get Troy in here. Hey, Troy.
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
Good.
I want to address two things. First off, as far as the divisions go, I think the problem that guy had is if he's from here, they just haven't had the Texans weren't good and exciting at the same time that another team was good and exciting. So to him, it's blah because he don't understand that rivalry. Like, well, my team hates your team, and we're both good. Like Johnny from Chicago, there was a time when Chicago was good and they would battle Green Bay, so there's a natural hatred for each other. Who do the Texans hate and who hates the Texans? In that capacity is boring, but in general, division is everything. That's the most exciting part about sports. You take division away from football, and it is black. Just wait till the playoffs and watch. There's no reason to watch the game. Which brings me to my second point. As a fan, like, y'all do a radio show, so y'all have to cover every aspect of the Texans. If I didn't listen to the radio, I never watched ESPN, and I color the TV, all I want to see is wins. So I would never want a team to not win, to tank, or none of that. I don't care if they win 6 games. If I'm watching 16, 17, I want to see 6 wins. I don't want to see, 6 wins, we didn't make the playoffs, so I'd rather win 2 because I'm – watching the game. And if I'm spending money, it's even worse. Why would I want to spend hundreds of dollars 8 times to watch him win 2 games? Well, just because you might get a good draft pick. No, I want to go to the game, get drunk, and watch my team win. If my team wins 6 times, that's better than 2 times. If they win 9 times to go to the playoffs and they suck, they still won 9 times and got to the playoffs. But if you start looking at the whole picture, yeah, y'all job makes sense. You want the best product to talk about. Fans want to see wins. We don't care about the best product.
Well,
any fan tell you, I'd rather be 2-15, they're lying.
Well, now, are you an Astro fan, Troy? Troy.
I don't watch baseball. I'm trying to, but it's hard.
It's hard
to watch baseball.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Troy. Thank you.
Base here will tell you the 300-loss seasons is why we got the euphoria of a world championship.
Were they looking? Did they want to go through it?
No, but they did. But they, but no one did go through it. Nobody showed up. Guess what? Nobody won.
Well, you still go through it on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. Well, no, because everybody ignored it. Everybody pretty much ignored it. Everybody pretty much ignored the Rockets this year.
We're playing the result because the Astros found a way to overcome it.
So we got what we got out of those 100 lost seasons was great draft picks and a World Series title.
Sure, but Reese pointed out that you could have the Astros model where you lose those games, then you win you go to the ALCS four times, or how often are teams just bad no matter what they try? So you still have that's the other side.
Well,
of
yeah, 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 no question. Well, now we're hoping. Did you watch Troy? Did you watch the Rockets this year? Troy, did you watch the Rockets this year?
Let me ask you this, John.
I asked you a question. Did you watch the Rockets this year? Huh?
Maybe five games at sports bars.
You watched the Rockets at sports bars?
That's what he said.
Maybe five times.
Because they don't win.
I like going to Hooters on a Friday.
He bailed out because they're boring.
Yeah, yeah. No. Hey, I agree. I agree with you. You don't want to watch them because you know that they're going to lose. It's not interesting. There was nothing interesting about the Rockets this year. But in the future, because of this, they might get a top four pick, and maybe somebody will want to come and play with Christian Wood and whoever this other pick is. And let's say Rafael Stone does a good job, and they lose, but the draft picks turn into a really good team. Will it be worth it for you to have the Rockets bad right now?
No, because I have to sit through 82 games for several years of watching me bad. Just have a good year later on, that's never worth it to me. I don't want future. I want now. If I'm going to invest all I got is my time. If I'm going to invest my time, I'd rather them win what's good in basketball, 45 games? 45 games and be mediocre than sit through three seasons of this to hopefully get a good future,
yeah.
Because where that don't pan out,
I would disagree with you on that. I don't mind having three bad seasons with the payoff of that we've had with the Astros. You know what? I ignored them, and a lot of people ignored them when they were bad. You're ignoring the Rockets. Payoff.
Now we're still in the midst of that.
Right.
We're still in the midst of the success from that.
Yeah.
Now but here's the thing. It's actually rare. A lot of teams have not tanked, and they've been bad for a long time, and they stay bad. Bad ownership, bad leadership, bad GMs.
Oh, the Clippers forever.
Clippers,
the Knicks forever.
Knicks, Browns.
Now the Golden State Warriors are another story. They were bad.
Right.
And look what they got.
Have been bad for a long time.
Yeah.
But we're talking about different things where the Astros are actively trying. They were actively trying to be bad. A lot of the times when these teams have high picks, they're just missing on guys. The Minnesota isn't just bad because they've been trying to be bad for so long. They decided to take all these point guards except for Steph Curry. That's one of the reasons they're bad, because of incompetence. So the Astros had a plan, and it worked out. The Rockets weren't trying to be bad, and they're going to tell you they're not trying to be bad next year.
Okay, so exactly what he wanted. The worst Rockets season under Daryl Morey was 41-41. They were good all those years, and they never got a championship. Right. How frustrating has that been? Well, Les Alexander wouldn't let him tank. They had to win. They had to win as many games as possible. Troy, the Rockets were the poster child of what you wanted, and they never won.
But that's okay. Like, you care about watching games.
And the Rockets.
You just told me you checked out on all of.
Yeah, I Astros checked out, but now I'm totally in, though.
But the Rockets is a bad comp because you know what? They traded for their first overall pick when they got James, and it worked out. So it wasn't like, they couldn't tank, but you know what they did? They made a smart move in the trade. They saw a guy on the come up, and he fast-forwarded the process for them. That's a little different. 41-41, that was the worst record. They never won, but the Rockets were never in the doldrums, and they never tried to be in the doldrums.
What I'm saying. That's what he wants.
He wants it, but
they're exactly what he wanted. But they never paid off.
Yeah, but the payoff was you made multiple conference finals. Right. I know you didn't win a title, but that's still pretty good.
No, that was pretty good. But it never paid off in the biggest way like the Astros did.
But rarely
and
does.
Okay, that's the question. Would you rather have the Astros model or the Rockets model? I'm saying I'd rather have the Astros because they paid off.
But you're guaranteeing. You mean would you rather not? What you're asking is, would you rather win a World Series or not win a championship?
Sure, you
That's
want the
exactly
World
it.
Series. Of course, you'd win a World Series.
But I didn't have to go through all the pain that the Astros went through.
Well, he's not.
I'm talking about. I'm talking about losing all those games, having it being irrelevant for all those years.
But
it paid off the biggest.
It paid off.
I would rather have that than be good and never get there.
You're talking about a model that includes hitting on all your top picks. Of course, we'd rather have a model that includes
Astros
hitting
didn't
on,
hit
your
on
top
all
picks.
Their top picks. They, not even close.
On relative to baseball success. Carlos Correa, well, Jose Altuve was already a hit.
Yeah.
Bregman has been a big hit.
Yeah.
Lance McCullers has been good. They brought in Yuli, the whole thing. You have to spell the whole thing out. Justin Verlander, Garrett Cole, you keep trading for guys. There's been lots of teams. The Rockets did that too.
They've been trading and making all kinds of moves.
So let's really truly make it apples and oranges, not Astros. Keep it in basketball. Would you rather have the Sixers model or the Rockets model? Because that's what you're talking about.
Wait a minute. The Golden State model or the Rockets model?
No, but you're making it the very best.
That's right. I got paid off with the championship. So, yes, I would rather have the championship like the Astros and Golden State than be good and not get there.
So now it's my turn to ask you, would you rather have the Rockets model or Sixers model?
Because
they're both the actually, Golden State was not intentionally tanking. They were 76ers.
No, but they were horrible.
Tanking.
They were bad.
They were a bad team.
And they were a bad team for a long time.
But 76ers were openly tanking under a Daryl Morey protege.
Right.
Too.
The question isn't, is it to you tank or not? It's being bad. And they were, and Golden State was horrible. Bad for a long time. And yet now it's paid off. And Golden State fans are like, we got to the top of the mountain.
No, but no one's living in the world where you're getting guaranteed a title. That's why Troy didn't want to even acknowledge it, because he's like, you can't guarantee you're guaranteed.
No, you can't guarantee it. Obviously, you can't guarantee it.
But sure, if you told me at the end of the day, if after three awful years, you're going to give me two World Series, one win, and multiple ALCS, sure, because that's the guarantee. I can suffer through 3 years if you're going to give me 4 years of near greatness.
That's right.
Everyone's taking that deal.
Right.
It's not even really a question, I think.
Exactly. Or you got the risk of being in the Knicks. Okay? No? Okay? And you could be horrible forever. Yeah, you got that risk. There's no question that there's that risk.
That's the thing Troy said. I don't want to play that risk game. That's the risk we're taking.
But sometimes the risk pays off. It's risk reward. 932 ESPN 97.5. What about the risk reward of Craig DeCerf?
There's a lot of great reward when it comes to Craig DeCerf. And I want to tell you right now, my man Craig DeCerf has made it very clear that when you come on the lot of a Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC dealership, you're never going to feel pressure. You're never going to feel like somebody is just, crushing you with the pressure to buy a vehicle. And that's not the way they do things. What they have is great programs for leases or purchase. I'll just tell you right now, I got a lot of good friends who are big into purchase. I took a trip, we just got back from West Texas. My buddy Chris was driving his vehicle. He purchased it back in 2015, keeps it in great shape. The mileage is very reasonable on it that he's got on it. And for some people, they're all about buy the car, take care of the car, and this is your baby. You're done paying it off, and you got a car without payments. For other people, I'm more of the lease guy. I like to have something new every 3 years. And so lease is perfect for me and for what my wife, what we're doing. And you know what? Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, they're good with either one of those. They're going to help you out. They're going to make sure that you get what it is that you're looking for and so that you're taken care of. And that's what I love about Craig DeCerf and his crew is you're going to get Chevy Silverado, GMC Sierra pickup trucks, the Yukon, or maybe you want the Buick Enclave or the GMC Acadia or the Chevy Traverse, which is what I'm driving. They'll find the right vehicle at the right price, and they will work with what it is that you want so that you are in control of the model, of the buying model and the car purchasing model, and that's why you feel more comfortable out in Angleton at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Make sure you go to the website, LanceZCars.com, to get started today.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet and Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You got to play this. I'm going to send it to you, Dell. This is pretty funny. This is my guy, all right? Not really.
John just said... Dell, we've got some golf audio. You have to play this.
That doesn't exist. There's no such thing as golf audio.
No, you have
to
play. It really is the most important thing in golf right now. Mm. Phil?
What, Phil not being terrible and saying, who cares because I won a PGA?
That's exactly what he said.
Yeah, I know. Well, I saw the story yesterday.
You saw it?
Yeah.
Play well, Phil. Yeah, you know, I really didn't play well, but I won the PGA.
Yeah, what do you want from me? I'm still on a high.
That's right.
By the way, I talked to your nemesis yesterday. I found out that John has a nemesis.
Who's my nemesis?
I was told this guy is John's nemesis, and this guy confirmed
Raul?
Am John's nemesis.
Because he won't bring me fries?
No.
It's not Raul?
No. It's somebody who is not in the radio circle.
Hmm. What's just who?
Who is your nemesis? Who's one guy that you just can't?
Oh, Dorf? Yeah. Door. He's the worst person I've ever met.
This guy told me, so I'm working with a guy over at University of Houston who...
It's Door.
Dana Holgerson said, I told Dana about something my buddy Tyler and I are doing that's, we think, going to revolutionize recruiting and stuff like that. And I told Dana, he goes, just talk to this guy. It sounds good. Talk to this guy. He said, he's Granato's nemesis. That immediately sparked I was like, I want to know more about this. And so I texted that guy and I said, hey, give me a shout. Coach told me to talk to you, and since you're Granato's nemesis, I really need to talk to you. So he's like, I'm playing golf at Lock and Var. I'll call you later. Okay, great. So we talked. He called me, and this guy who works at U of H, Dell, he told me, he goes, I am Granato's nemesis. He said, if Granato's playing good golf, he will choke the last three holes, and I will beat him.
Wow.
If John, he said, if I need to hit three birdies in a row, I will hit them. He said, I am the guy that is in John's head because no matter what happens at a poker table or whatever, he goes, and you can ask John, he goes, we're at Carlton Woods. He goes, for whatever reason, I beat John all the time and I'm in his head, and he even acknowledges I'm his nemesis.
Yeah, no. He's terrible, and then he comes and plays, and he's 3-under. I'm like, what the? This guy, it's unbelievable. No, unbelievable. So next time I'm going to beat his ass. Next time I'll beat his ass and I'll dance.
There is something about having
and I'll dance around him.
So much confidence against a man that you know, no matter what, I'm gonna have a good day against this guy.
Yeah, you should have heard.
That's it. He could be playing like crap, and then he plays, and then I show up. He's like, oh,
the way he
I'm gonna play good today.
The way he talked, he had such a confidence. He said, "I told him one time, you better hope I don't get in sports talk radio." He told John.
He's called here before. He's a Browns fan.
That's what he told me he had. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah,
about Freddie Kitchens or something.
Yep. So, I mean, this is the time of the year, and now we're seeing it. The Texans are, hey, Davis Mills. Wee-hoo, yee-haw. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Mac Jones is winning over his teammates over there.
Yeah, it's easy.
They like his work ethic, his attitude, his leadership.
Yeah, it's great when... You know, you're throwing against grass for the most part.
Yeah. Well, they got, you know, I'm sure that they're covering.
I'm sure. And, you know, I'm sure he's great when there's nothing to
really worry about. Right, and there's no rush.
Yeah. Well,
because we've seen him against the rush.
Well, they said he has swag, though.
Yeah, no.
Kendrick Bourne said, I didn't know he had this kind of swag. He's got a little swag to him. He's a swag in shorts on air.
Yeah, he does a little strut after throwing touchdown passes when all his first round wide receivers are running by guys. He does a little strut when he throws touchdowns. I've seen it. It's a little awkward, and I would ask him not to do it in the NFL. But Mac Jones will put it out there for people. Look, you see, all my guys are better than your guys, and I'm going to make a play.
Yeah.
it's not going to be the same when Kendrick Bourne's facing Xavier Howard. I'm just going to tell you. It's not going to be the same.
Just an FYI.
Yeah. Just
what about Aguilar?
Well, once again, it's not going to be the same when Aguilar's facing Xavier Howard or Byron Jones or some. Well, maybe. Well, he might have some success against the Jets. Maybe.
Yeah. No, he'll have some success.
Really? You think he starts right away?
No, that's the question. Guys love. We talked about this yesterday, though. The NFL players love Cam Newton. They just think Cam Newton is so good. And I, with my human eyes, I saw Cam Newton last year.
He used to be good.
No, he was really good.
I think they like how big he is, how physical. As athletes, they recognize that he is a superhuman physically. I think they recognize, as other athletes, they say, this is a different dude now. But he's not the same guy he used to be.
No.
That's over. And a lot of that's because he just took a beating.
Absolutely.
I think he's his shoulder. I mean, eventually will catch up with you.
Look, I could see Robert Griffin III, you know, having real problems because he's of smaller build and he was taking shots that he shouldn't. Deshaun learned, I can't take those shots. I got to ride a bus to Jacksonville. I ain't doing that anymore. And I'm going to get out.
I'm not getting my lung punch.
No, I'm not. Anymore. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm out on that. Cam was the most physical quarterback I believe we've seen. Steve McNair.
No, but Cam was a running back that you couldn't stop in short yardage.
I know. I remember Steve McNair. I mean, I used to. Now it was he was a pocket guy, but he took so many hits, and he was so. I remember Dom Capers told me, he said, "Man, you can get to him, but you can't take him down."
But Steve was just burly and sturdy.
So was Cam.
But Cam's physical.
Yeah,
like. Cam would,
so was Steve McNair now.
Well, but I don't remember Steve McNair running forward. And like, he wasn't used like a battering ram like Cam
No,
was.
But he took, I get that. No, Cam is different. Don't get me wrong. But the beating and the pounding, listen, other guys learn. Russell Wilson, how elusive. Kyler Murray can't take a beating, but he knows how to get, he's elusive. He knows how to get. Cam just took you on head first and didn't care.
Right.
I'm going to get that extra yard. And Mac Jones is just the opposite, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
How many times did you see Mac Jones when he needed a yard?
No.
He would be.
You know what's interesting, though? Who's one of the greatest sneak quarterbacks in history?
Tom Brady. Yeah.
Not physical, just weaselly.
Yeah.
I don't know how else do you explain it.
Yep.
He was a straight weasel. He understood how to get. There's nothing more physical about him than Matt Schaub. Matt Schaub would break his foot on a quarterback sneak. Tom Brady is always getting, like, I don't know that I ever saw more than three quarterback sneaks for Peyton Manning. Like, I just didn't see him quarterback sneak it. Brady is, it's a given Brady's going to get the sneak.
Well, now, Josh Allen. And Texans quarterbacks, if they did, they got their ankle.
Yeah, they would get hurt.
They got a concussion. They got ankle.
Texans get
crushed.
Hurt.
I remember Tom Brady, I was doing the sidelines for the Texans, and it's like third and two, and Tom Brady just takes it and runs up, I mean, a sneak, and he ran for about 10 yards.
So he pinched his center. I think that was a play where they just said, there's no one covering
here.
The center, and so I think that's one of those pinch that we're going.
Yeah.
Take off. Forget the play.
Yeah.
And that's how smart he is. That's why.
And he ran for about 10 yards. Tom Brady, a 10-yard run. It was the longest run of his career. And I was like, oh, my. They just let Tom Brady run right up the middle.
Yeah.
What the hell? Did they not know that Tom Brady's smarter than they are?
No, they didn't.
Yeah, but that was Texans. That was Texans football. We got a pretty good story here that we haven't gotten to yet. It involves a Rolls Royce. And we'll tell you on the other. It's about a rich guy. Okay, and it involves a Rolls Royce next right here. But first, that's not a jab, Lance. That's not a jab.
No, Site Jab understands that that's not a jab at Rolls or any other stores. And they're even like, why do y'all keep mentioning jabs and us on just random stories? And I just said, that's just the way John segues, okay? The name Site Jab is site as in website, and jab is in punch it up a little bit. Now, Hector is a boxing fan, so you know he wanted to get jabbing there. But you got to punch up your website. You got to get it. You got to get it dressed up. It needs to be updated. If you have a house, You want to update your house and it becomes more valuable. With websites, what happens is when you update your websites and really give it not only a fresh coat of paint, but you get in there and you make fundamental changes to, you know, the video functionality. Now you have it. Now you got e-commerce on there. Now it looks better. Now it flows better. The user interface is cleaner. What happens is that you end up keeping people on your website longer, and the longer they're on the site looking into your work, the more likely it means that they are willing to reach out to you and consider using your company. So if you're a small to medium-sized business, that's why it's important to have a fresh, updated website from a company like SiteJab, who's been doing it for 23 years here in the Houston area. They know the market, and they know what it means to stay current with the times. SiteJab.com, SiteJab.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
News. Our boy Michael from Pete's Fine Meats is going to start advertising with us. And you know what he wants to give away next week? Meat Pack, where we're going to start doing giveaways where people can go get ribs, brisket. Like the winner, we're going to have start having contests.
Oh my gosh.
We're going to have start having contests where people can get.
I'm going to go.
Like he's going to do a meat pack.
Do that contest tonight.
Does he have fries?
Yes,
Michael
he does.
Has fries. Yeah.
Okay.
He has fries and onion rings.
All right.
Then. I get onion rings.
I welcome him to the station because if he didn't have fries, beat it.
And he's
got fries.
At Richmond and Hillcroft, so he can get there.
Yeah, but right there.
He called me up
and
yesterday.
And oh, by the way, yeah. If you get from Richmond and Hillcroft to West Park in West Alabama, or Rice in West Alabama, the fries will still be fine.
No, okay? They're going to be great.
They'll be awesome.
But he called about that. By the way, he called and he said, hey, I want to do some advertising and stuff like that. I said, okay, good. Let's set it up. He goes, I want to like give away. He said, I said, you should do a giveaway, like a brisket, ribs. He goes, yeah, I can put together a meat pack. Do meat pack giveaways. Whoa. I'm like, yeah, for the show.
Yeah.
Do meat pack for the show. But he's like, well, what about
cook
the
it
listeners?
All up, Michael. Bring it over. And then we'll do a meat pack.
And he's
for
open in the morning, so we need to start getting. If he's going to advertise, we need to start doing some type of breakfast thing where he brings us food in the morning.
you guys are the worst.
What's wrong with you?
No, don't want that to happen.
Yes, I do.
Okay, thank you.
No, I'm going to actually give something to the people while you're trying to maneuver ways for you to get food.
Yeah, we got another giveaway.
Yeah,
I know. We have them in hand.
Since John doesn't want to do his job.
No,
Hit it,
Todd
Del.
Said, guys.
He said,
you're one of the guys.
You don't know what I identify as. Stop calling me a guy. Now is your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to Saturday Night Sugarland. Okay.
Stop laughing.
If you're not going to go tomorrow night, don't get the tickets.
No, because I'll take them.
3, 2, 1. As John said, this is for tomorrow's game, so make sure you're available to go. But now is your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets. Don't call them right now. You guys know the rules. Win a 4-pack of tickets to Saturday night's Sugarland Skeeters game at Constellation Field. The Skeeters are taking on the Albuquerque Isotopes, and the first 1,500 fans get an Alex Bregman intentional walk bobblehead. Great tickets start at just $15. Simply go to SugarlandSkeeters.com and pick your seats now. That's SugarlandSkeeters.com. So caller 8 at 9:55. Caller 8 at 9:55 wins these tickets. You guys don't even have to come up here. You're going to get it in your email and go head straight to the game. Caller 8, 9:55, 4-pack of tickets to the Skeeters game tomorrow night.
All right. So we got a couple of stories here.
Yep.
First, we didn't talk about this. Man, President Graham Spanier, Penn State, former president of Penn State, Graham Spanier, he was found guilty and has to do prison time for just turning a blind eye to Jerry Sandusky and the years of child abuse that went on at Penn State. The president of the university it's 2 months. He's got to report to jail on July 9th for 2 months, and then he gets 2 months of house arrest for endangering the welfare of children. Our judicial system. My buddy was in the university scandal. He helped get kids into school. He did 3 months and 3 months. This guy covered up 10 years of child abuse, and he's doing 2 months and 2 months.
What is 3 months? 3 months of house arrest?
Yeah.
Oh, three and three.
Three and three.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, this is, it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. But neither here nor there. That is something that the, how about this now, people? You turn a blind eye, you don't act, and you're going to face the consequences. That is a, to anyone out there trying to cover stuff up or allow this to happen, you know, LSU, beware with all the charges that are going on around there with the, with Darius Geis stuff going on. You best beware. Now there's the Janoris Jenkins story. He returned from a trip to West Palm Beach, Florida. Apparently, he parked his car in the South Economy lot at the Atlanta airport on May 5th. He reported his car stolen on Wednesday, which was, what, the 26th? Yeah. Okay.
Wait.
He was 21 days. 21 days he went to West Palm, Florida. Went down to Miami, I guess, for 21 days from Atlanta. He drove his Rolls Royce $250,000 car, parked it in the South Economy lot at the Atlanta airport, and when he got back, it was gone. Who would have thought that someone could steal a Rolls Royce out of an economy lot?
So a professional athlete with a vehicle, are you serious? It's $250,000 car?
It's a $250,000
car. Parked in an economy lot.
Well, first of all, for 21 days. Who, dude?
Uber up there.
Have you ever
dummy.
Heard of a car service? I mean, or an Uber? Or
Uber X. Here's a better idea. Uber X, do you prefer to talking? Yes. Do you prefer air conditioner? No. Be as hot with a chatty, stinky car is better than having a $250,000 car.
Well,
stolen.
No.
So
how much
the real
does it cost?
Here?
No. How much does it cost to park your car for 21 days, even in the economy lot?
Okay. So none of that makes sense, right?
None of it.
Are you getting to the point where you're going to tell me this is some kind of insurance hustle?
No. He actually lost his car.
John, this has got
Here's
to be
what
an
he
insurance
says.
Hustle.
He is pissed at the airport. He says he felt mistreated. They gave me the complete runaround. The airport was in no way, shape, or form empathetic, concerned, or in shock that something like this could even happen. You know why? Because it's not shocking. Janoris, you don't park a $250,000 car in a South Economy parking lot. First of all, if you're going to be gone for 21 days, you don't park your car.
Okay, Aaron is right. Aaron said, look, these new money kids need to learn. Now, Janora's been around the league. He said, you drive a Bentley, you get driven in a Rolls Royce. You only take the Rolls to the airport only when you have to, or when you have your butler taking you there and taking the car back. See?
Dude.
If it's a Rolls, somebody takes you in a Rolls.
First, and wait a minute. You parked in the economy lot, you have a $250,000 car, and you thought it was smart to park it next to the Toyota and all these $4,000 cars. You thought that was a good idea to park your Rolls Royce, a $250,000 car, next to all of these $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 cars, and you thought it was a good idea for 21 days? Have you lost? What?
This is can't be. But this. That's what I'm saying.
No.
This.
And he's like, they
hold
weren't
on,
empathetic.
Dude. Janoris Jenkins. I know his background. This is a street smart guy. Does a street? I just do the math. So a street smart guy parks his car in Atlanta in a. In a lot that is a
an
what
economy
is it?
Lot.
An economy lot for more than for
three
in
weeks.
Essence 3 weeks. And then comes back and is shocked that something has happened to it and is mad at the this feels like a setup. A street smart guy is dropping a $250,000 car in an economy lot. What part of that? I'm just telling you, if I've watched look, I'm watched a lot of shows where, like, I'm currently on the startup, okay? And I don't want to speak from the FBI agent's perspective because he's kind of a bad guy, but he does ask some questions sometimes. And I think that sometimes, and even Ronald Dacey, really, at the Street Smart Haitian, he understands what's going on here. He puts two and two together when the other people don't see it. I'm going to go Ronald Dacey mode and say, huh, something right here. I got a man with a $250,000 car parking in an economy lot for 3 weeks, and he gets back and can't believe it's stolen. Do we have some footage of the lot?
I would imagine they have footage of the lot. I would imagine they have somebody that is, maybe faking the break-in. And or, yeah, he fakes the break-in, but...
Does he just pretend to break the glass?
Well, no, he doesn't break the glass. He's got to pop the lock because the person... at the gate would probably see the broken glass.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's got something where he fakes to pop it. Yeah, the right, cameras. Right. Oh, I got it.
Pop a lock. Right.
I got it. And the key's like underneath the thing.
Right. And so is the ticket. Hey, I left the ticket right there so that you can get out.
You got to pay the maximum for 2 days. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, this doesn't, it doesn't add up. Or he's really, really, really dumb. And he left his Rolls Royce in an economy lot. One of the two. Then one of the two. And your suspicious mind went right to...
My suspicious mind immediately thinks a street smart dude with a vehicle that's worth $250,000 is parking in an economy lot. Right off the bat, that doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you bring that car to the... Wait. A player would bring anyone bringing a $250,000 car to an airport immediately raises suspicions. Yeah. Number two, economy lot. Suspicions further up. Number three, leaving it there for 3 weeks. Come on, dude. This stuff, that this is either you are, as I just got texted, a colossal dumbass, or there's a game being played here.
Mm-hmm.
There's something that doesn't add up to me.
Absolutely.
Something doesn't add up.
No. So I wish you were the detective on
this. If I were the detective, I would definitely not kill my partner, like, because I've never killed you.
You did kill Adam Clanton and and Charlie.
No,
and
Charlie's alive. Yeah. He comes in after the show.
Matt, you killed him.
Matt Thomas is still the voice of the Rockets.
I mean, it's how you got the name Body Bags. I don't know where it came from.
I didn't get the name Body Bags. You called me that. I didn't get the name.
There's no proof of that.
You invented it.
No, there's no proof that I said it, but there is.
There's proof you said it. It's
find it.
It's called
find it.
It's called a podcast, D-Weed.
Can you find it?
Okay.
If you can't produce it, then there's no proof. But you somehow that name came about for you, so you may have killed your partner. That's all.
No, I think you killed your partners, but okay. And I took the chance. Sure. I mean,
you're that cop that no one wants to work with.
Yeah.
His last two partners have been dead. Sorry, Granado. You got to work with them.
Or that guy you want to marry, that girl who keeps killing her husbands.
Yeah. Her fiancés and husbands keep dying.
Hey, well, how come? What? You've had three husbands and they all died?
What a bad run.
But you're only 28 years old.
What an amazingly bad run. They've all left you everything?
Yeah.
On Lance's Pro Radio Reference, it'll under nickname, it'll go Grim Reaper and Body Bags.
Pro Radio Reference. That's such an inside thing. If you go to Pro Basketball Reference,
mm-hmm.
for some reason it gives you every nickname that anyone has ever, and I'm convinced some of them, just name an NBA player. Just any NBA player that's ever
played. John's favorite, Caris LeVert. Let's see if he has a nickname.
Okay. So let's see. Pro Basketball Reference. Let's see what Caris LeVert's nicknames are. All right. Because I'm telling you right now, everyone's got every nickname that's ever been up. All right. Caris LeVert.
Of course, I picked one who doesn't have a nickname. Oh, well, he does have a nickname. You want to guess what it is, John? You'll never get it.
What is the singer LeVert's name?
Gerald LeVert?
Yeah.
No, his nickname is Baby Durant.
I would have never guessed that.
Okay, what about
James Harden's? But you know what?
What about James Harden's nicknames?
The Beard.
What else?
Fat Boy?
No. The Beard, El Chapo, Jimbo Slice, and Honey Bun.
He just got that nickname.
That's not really a nickname, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Name somebody. Okay, what do you think PJ Tucker's nickname is?
Whiny little biznot.
PJ Tucker, whoa, you better watch your mouth.
Well, did he not whine it?
Hey, you know what? I don't want to be here.
Insulted a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
You know what? It makes sense. He has no PJ stands for Pops Jr. He has no nickname. Oh. PJ Tucker's. What about other PJ Tucker?
What about PJ Walker?
Oh.
No. Stay on basketball.
Yeah, come on. We got to go to break, though.
Oh. Okay.
What about Trevor Ariza? What is his? He's the first. He's Trevor, the first. Trevor the Ariza was the first PJ Tucker.
The assassin.
Switchblade.
Switch, well, okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's close. Not bad.
I was close.
That's not bad.
It's 10:02.
Well, you got a catchphrase.
Yep. Bye, bitch.
Whoa. That's not my catchphrase.
It kind of is. It kind of actually is. But you, I think you also have to a patio, don't you?
Texas Custom Patio. So I reached out to Ryan over at Real because they're considering having Texas Custom Patios. I showed him the work that Stephen Schell and Texas Custom Patios did on my place, and he's like, "Do they do restaurants?" I was like, "Yeah, they do anything. They can." It's look. Steven looks at the space you have, and then he gets his CAD out, and they does the drawing, and the you know he runs through the whole process where the rendering looks unbelievably real, and you really can see what your the back of your home, or restaurant, or whatever the case may be is going to look like. You might have a standalone pool house that you want built outside because you have a pool. Maybe like me, there's a great space for a patio, and it just needed to be envisioned and built, and that's what they did for me. They stay on their timeline. They stay inside their budget. If they ever go over budget, they're responsible for it. You never are asked to pay more ever. And the work that they do is top-notch. They are award winners every single year. It's amazing the work that they're able to do, my friends over at Texas Custom Patios. Let them – just reach out to them. Set up a consultation and just start to get a feel for what it's going to look like because I promise you, when you build that – and it's time to sell your home, and a lot of people in Houston are doing that now. That's going to be a big differentiator that's going to get you more than dollar for dollar back. I promise you that's what's going to end up happening for me. TexasCustomPatios.com. Click the consultation button in the upper right-hand corner and get your consultation with Texas Custom Patios.
This is ESPN 97.5.